dead batteries.
No more? Okay. I could probably do without it, John, tonight. Job chapter 39. And look at verse 19. Job's in the book in front of Psalms. Job chapter 39. I have brought this message several times, but the Lord has got put this on my heart real heavily the last month or two. So someone needs to hear this, either in this church or on the way of the computer when they replay the tapes on there. But hear me out. This message, God wants to help some of you tonight. Some of you might be struggling with some things in your life. And this is a message of encouragement. At least I hope it is. It's what we want it to be. Notice, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Job chapter 39, verse 19 through 25. Hey, this is a pretty good crowd for a Sunday night. Always looks like there's more when people are standing, too. I was telling that. Thank you for coming back. I know it's a beautiful day. I appreciate you coming. Notice verse 19 of Job 39. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostril is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoices in his strength. Think about that horse. The nostrils. And he's pawing. That's what's going on here. He paweth in the valley, verse 21, rejoices in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. Neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, and the glittering spear in the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that is the sound of the trumpet. He said among the trumpets, ha ha! And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Heavenly Father, you gave me this message years ago. And I thank you for all the years I've got to preach this message. Probably the last time I ever preach it here, unless you give me a lot more years. I pray that, Lord, that all will be blessed tonight. Father, this is what you put in my heart to preach. I have hundreds of messages. Holy Spirit, I'm trying to yield to you. Please. Someone needs to hear this today. Help us to be a blessing to them. Help us to be an encouragement, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. On Thursday night, March 22nd, 1979, my 30th birthday. Oh, that's been a long time ago. I was at pastor school in Hammond, Indiana with Dr. Jack Howes. And Brother Roloff was there that night, and he preached a message that I'll never forget. He preached the message, Pawing in the Valley. I remember I was so moved by it. By the way, at the last afternoon session, Dr. Howes preached Fresh Oil. He preached Fresh Oil. After he got done preaching Fresh Oil, I could not speak. My wife was with me. I could not speak for 20 to 30 minutes. I just sat in the chair, in the pew. I was so moved by the message. I would to God we could have the power of God fall on churches like that again, Billy. I would to God that we'd be so moved by the power of the Holy Spirit that when the word of God goes out, our hearts would move for God. And I remembered being so moved with Dr. Howell's message, Fresh Oil. And then Dr. Roloff came that night with the kids, and they sang, and he preached. And he preached this message, Pawn in the Valley. I ran down the altar that night, crying, giving my life to Christ. Lord, I was already saved. I was a preacher. I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want. You want me to start a church? Anything you want, I'll do it. And I remembered, and I said in my heart, now you young preachers, listen to me. Pastor Dave, I hope the Lord will do something with this. I went down and crying, and I told God I'd give my life, whatever he wanted me to do, I'd do it. And I said, Lord, I also promise I'll never let the truth of this message, I'll never let the truth of Pawn in the Valley, the message of the truth of it, ever get away from me. And for over 35 years now, I have preached this message, Pawn in the Valley. When I candidated at this church, I preached the Eagle message in the morning, and then Sunday night I preached Pawn in the Valley. I don't know how many times, I've been here going towards 24 years. I'm sure I preached this message four or five times in the last 24 years. But God put it on my heart to preach it again. And I'm hoping one of you young men that are preachers, I'm hoping God will get a hold of your heart like he did mine that night. And I hope that you'll, and I said this to Billy, and I think I met Pastor Dave, I don't know how much time I've got left with the Lord here, but I hope this message never dies. I hope one of you young preachers will take this message and say, I'm going to keep preaching in the future. I hope you never let it die. By the way, it's all God's. It's no one's messages. Can anyone say amen? I'm hoping some of you young men, this will be the last time you'll hear a preacher preach this message. And I hope that some of you will. Maybe the Lord will speak to your heart. He has to speak to your heart like he did mine. Say you'll never let it die, that you'll continue to preach it and pass it on to others. Look at verse 20 and 21. In verse 20 and 21, notice what it says. Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley. Look up here. You're missing it. And I ain't got that much left in me. And Lester Roloff did that, if I remember right. He paweth in the valley. The question today is, have you lost your paw? I didn't ask you if you lost your maw. I'm asking you, have you lost your paw? I want you to picture this with me. This is my message I put with Lester Ross. Visualize in your mind. Think with me. You just read about a battle. You just read about the fierceness of a battle and a soldier and a horse. And visualize in your mind. Think with me of a battlefield. The rider and the horse have just stopped. They have just been engaged in a fierce battle. The fighting has stopped. He's tired. The rider, he's worn out. The rider has bruises and cuts and wounds and scars from the battle. Mud and blood covers his body from the fighting. He's thirsty and he's somewhat hungry. He's relieved that the fighting from the battle has stopped. Loving thoughts go through his mind about home and family. He's tired. He's bruised. He longs for his home. He longs for his wife and family. The writer doesn't want to go on in war any longer. He's been through battle after battle. He's glad the enemy has retreated and been defeated. He rejoices the battle is over. But just then, he sees over the next ridge another enemy approaching. The summons, the call, the battle is sounded once again. The rider has to make a choice and a decision to be made. Does he stay and fight? Or does he flee and run away? The battle sounds is sounded again. The summons for the horse and the rider is calling. There's an urgency in the air. The rider and the horse prepares for the next battle. The Bible says he mounts his horse and he paweth. Doesn't say he mounts, but he's on his horse and he paweth in the valley. And he gets ready for the next battle. Notice, this rider is a picture of the Christian life. This rider on this horse in this battle is a picture of the Christian life. Why, preacher? Life wages war with us every day. There seems like there's one battle after another that the Christian must face. How many ever had battles in life? Sorrows and heart. It seems like you just get done with one and say, it's all over. Wow, am I? And uh-oh, right behind you, another one comes up. How many know what preacher's talking about? There seems like there's one battle after another. Many Christians are like this soldier and his horse. They become soiled and scarred by the world because of all the battles. Some Christians feel like quitting and giving up. Many Christians have been hurt and scarred by the battles of life. I guarantee you there's people who are scarred from the battles of life. Many Christians are tired and they're worn. Have no more desire to face another enemy, to engage in another battle. When that day comes for each one of us, we need to go to Job 39 and we need to remember this horse and the rider. When it comes to us and we feel like quitting and turning back, that's when we need to start hauling in the valley. When you feel like you're going to quit, when you feel like you're going to turn back, when you feel like you're going to throw the towel in, hey, go read Job 39 and get your pawn shoe on. Say, God, I feel like quitting. I better start pawing. Go in your bedroom with no one seeing and start pawing by yourself. Don't let the devil get the victory. Amen? Christian, if you're here today and you feel like quitting, don't do it. Some of you know, there has to be someone getting thoughts like this or I wouldn't be preaching this. I'm not a mind reader, but God puts things in my heart. If you're thinking about throwing the towel in, don't do it. If you feel like quitting, don't do it. What do I do then, preacher? You start pawing in the valley. You keep pawing in the valley for Jesus. Can anyone say amen? Hey, Christian, are you going through a fire right now? You feel the heat? Keep pawing in the valley like the three Hebrews did in the fiery furnace. When you read in Daniel, you can turn to if you want, Daniel chapter 3. When you read in Daniel chapter 3 about the three Hebrew children, that remember they put that, they said you had to bow down to that 90-foot golden image? I'm in Daniel 3, 16 through 26. And they said, no, we won't bow down to it. And boy, they had a ruckus and they threw them in the fiery furnace. Daniel 3:19 says that furnace was pumped up seven times greater. Old Nebuchadnezzar, he was full of fury. In other words, he was really mad. He said in Daniel 3:20 that they took the most mightiest men of the army, it says that in 3:20 of Daniel, the most mightiest men of the army, and they grabbed those three Hebrews. I'm going to tell you, I don't even think those three Hebrews resisted, yet the world tries to put this strong arm on you. And they threw those three Hebrews in the fire. By the way, when you read 3:22 of Daniel, it says that the fire slew all those strong men that were putting the three Hebrews in, they died. But the three Hebrews in the fire, they were singing Amazing Grace. How great the sound. Can anyone say amen? And when you get to that Daniel 3:25, the king notices something in Daniel 3:25. He says, I see four men loose. If you really watch the scriptures, remember they were bound. They were bound. But now these three men that were bound in the fire, there's a fourth one, and that fourth one is Jesus, and they're loose. See, many times we get bound up in the things of the world, but there's only one remedy to get those bonds off us and those binds off us, and that's Jesus. Brother Noach, not only can he take them off during the daily life, But I'm glad he saved me. I'm glad he took the bonds of sin around me, and he took them all away and set me free forever. Can anyone say amen? The fourth, the king says, he said, I see four men loose. And the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how hot it gets. I don't care where you are. If you look to Christ, he'll be with you. Don't give up. Don't give up in Christ. A lot of times we give up on ourselves, but you never want to give up on Christ. Because he's the one that makes the difference. Can anyone say amen? You know, I have a thought here. Has the world got you all bound up right now? Are you bound up with something with the world? Is someone or something putting the heat on you? If that's the case, start pawing in the valley. Start pawing in the valley and let Jesus take you through the fire. He can take you through the fires of life if you let him. Just keep pawing in the valley. Listen, paw in the valley when you're in fire. Paw in the valley when you're in the lion's den. Same book. If you look at Daniel 6, look at Daniel 6, you'll see, if you're in there, verses 7 through 24, they made a decree that you couldn't pray. Sad to say, that wouldn't hurt most Christians today. Elmira was still with me. But if you see Daniel 3:10, or maybe 6:10, see where I'm at here. 6:10 of Daniel. Notice what Daniel did. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went in his house, and his windows being open, he made sure they were open. And his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave God thanks before his God. And he did that a fourth time. He did, in other words, just like he always was doing, he kept on doing it. He didn't let some decree from some lost king tell him he couldn't pray. I'm amazed at most Christians today, how we'll let the world sometimes dictate to us what we can and what we can't do. And the Bible says there that he opened up the windows. Well, you know the story. They took him and they gave a report to the king. And he said, well, even though the king loved him, he didn't want him to put him. He had to put him in there. And he said, I've got to put you in there, Daniel. And look at verse 19 and 20 of Daniel 6. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went hastened to the den of lions. And when he came to the... By the way, he went early in the morning. I believe he fasted, was up all night. I believe that king wanted Daniel to survive. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamentable voice, lament. When you lament, you're weeping. That means he had tears in his voice. How many are still with me? Daniel! And the king spake, said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. By the way, is your God living today? Mine is. He can take you out of any kind of problem. I don't care who's trying to put the bite on you. Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver from the lions? Then send Daniel unto the king. O king, live forever. Yeah, I'm all right, man. I'm sitting here drinking Coca-Cola. Having a time. He said, my God has sent this angel and had... Actually, he was drinking Pepsi. I don't want to lie to you. Kidding. My God has sent his... Look what he said to the king. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. I love it. I love this. Every time I think... Can you imagine God giving those lions lockjaw? Man, they saw Daniel and they thought they were going to get a porterhouse steak. God just locked their jaw with super glue. Can anyone say amen? My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me. For as much as before, ministry was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Hallelujah, man. Woo! I actually thought about Daniel in this. You might not, now don't say this, but, and I'm just thinking maybe it could have happened. Not only did God give him lockjaw, I believe he probably made one of those lions a pillow to sleep on at night.
said, "Probably Tony, I'm going to get closer. I'm going to get warm. Use your fur." Hello? He thought he was at the Ramada Inn. Can anyone say amen? Listen to me. Praise God. God gave those lions lockjaw. And Daniel escaped the jaws of the lions. By the way, we didn't read this, but later on you'll see the people that accused him, they threw them in. They took Daniel out, threw them in. Guess what? Smorgasbord. We went to Hibachi, Japan the other day with Brother Mel and the family. Boy, we had a good time eating that Hibachi, Japan. I could just see them, those lions. Here comes Hibachi, Japan for us. I'm going to get me some filet. Amen? Can anyone say amen? Listen. Is there someone that's got a hold on you? Is there someone trying to stop you from going forward and trying to tell you to quit and give up? If that's the case, listen, there's all kinds of things that come in our life. But we can't quit and we can't give up. You say, "What should I do, preacher?" Instead of quitting, instead of giving up, instead of turning back, get your paw on. Everybody try it. I want you to paw where you're at. Everyone do their right paw. Try the paw. How many can do that? All right. I'm giving you a pawing lesson. Something happens to me. You remember, I've taught you the pawing story. Pawing. When you get where you want to quit, when you get when you want to turn back, when you think, "God, I can't go another day farther." Billy, when you think you can't go another day. Carol, when you think you can't take any more. How many are getting it? You got to keep pawing in the valley. I've been preaching for over 40 years. Boy, I'm glad. And there's been good times and bad times. But then through all the times, I learned one thing. I'm going to keep pawing. I can't quit. Can't give up. Got to keep going. Can anyone say amen? Keep pawing in the valley. Keep pawing when the times are hard. Keep pawing when people are trying to put something on you. Keep pawing in the valley. Let Jesus protect you from all the harm and people that are going against you. Listen, a lot of Christians are like Samson. Remember old Samson? Judges 15, verse 16 says he was a champion for God. He slew 1,000 men with a jawbone and ass. That guy was a bad stick. He killed 1,000 guys by himself. Hello? How many are still with me? You say, "Oh, preach, those are old Bible." Yeah, those are old Bible. You know what? They're true. You know why those Bible stories don't have effect on us like they should? You don't embrace them. You don't grab them. You don't take them in your heart. I've heard about that. No, it really happened. It really happened. These things that God tells us in the Word of God, they're true. They're sure. They really come to pass. You know that Judges 16, 15 through 30, Samson got with the wrong crowd, the wrong woman. By the way, and you all know the story. Can I stop for the story for just 1 minute? Can I talk to the young and to the old? You want to get your life messed up? You get with the wrong crowd, and you're going to get it messed up. You get with the wrong person, you're going to get it messed up. I'm going to tell you right now, you young people, you ought to be praying not who can I date tomorrow, but you ought to say, "God, whoever it is I'm supposed to have for as a mate for this life, show me and show them and put them in my life." Hello? God knows who He wants for you. You just wait for God for the right age. And some of you older folks that are married, some of you younger guys, "Well, maybe I made a mistake." No, you didn't make a mistake. You're just an idiot. How's that for preaching? Proverbs teaches how a blessing our wife is to us. Eve was the helpmeet for Adam. Many times we forget how important our wife is to us. Don't look down on them. Look up to them. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much you thank God for them. By the way, usually they're the brains of the business. Not always. You know, Pilate should have listened to his wife. he was messing with. He says, I got a funny feeling about this Jesus man. Maybe you ought to just leave. He should have listened to him. Listen, look up here, fellas. I don't do everything Rosie tells me. Trust me. About 99% I don't. But I still listen. I still listen. And many times, Brother Rich, I tell her, I wish I would have listened to you better. See, I'm trying to help you and me both at the same time. Oh, I'm going to tell you, those women have insight that sometimes we don't even have. We're just so prideful and proud, we don't want to listen. I'm not telling you to be a mealy mouse, but I'm just saying, listen, God gave you that helpmate. Let God use that helpmate to help your life sometimes. Many times that he'll use that helpmate just to warn you, like if you're going to do something, maybe they'll use them to warn you so you don't get in some kind of endeavor that you do. Can anyone say amen? Samson. He lost all his hair. He cut his hair off. He found the secret of his strength. But I'm going to tell you something. He lost more than his hair. It wasn't the hair that was important. It was the power of God that he lost. Listen, you look at verse 20. I don't know if he did turn. I'm in Daniel 6:20. This is one of the saddest verses I've ever seen in my life. And when he came to the, I'm wrong. I'm in the wrong book. I'm over in the book of Judges. I got to go to Judges. That was Judges chapter 16. We're talking about Samson now. And I'm in 6:20 of Judges. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He woke out of his sleep. And he said, I will go out as other times before. And spake myself and shake myself. And he wist not. Pastor Dave never tells me what he's preaching. I never tell him what he's preaching. This morning he was talking about Christians that didn't even know they were backslidden. Christians that were walking and didn't know that they'd left the Lord. Notice what it says, and he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson didn't even know that God wasn't with him no more. He was walking. He thought God was with him. He thought he had the power of God on him. And he was acting like he had the power of God on him. But he lost it. And there's a lot of Christians that you preach about. They're out there. They don't even know they're backslidden. They don't even know they're doing wrong. Because we've come so much into the world. We can't hardly tell the Christian from the world no more. But they ought to know us. The Bible says we're new creatures in Christ. Can anyone say amen? He wished not that the Lord departed from him. That verse to me, it's a very sad day when you lose the presence and the power of God in your life and don't know it. Billy, he lost the power of God and did not know it. That's sad. I believe that's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Samson lost his power with God. Samson lost his presence with God. Samson lost his testimony for God. Samson lost his strength for God. Samson lost his reputation for God. Hey, Samson lost his eyes. They blinded him. He could no longer see for God. Samson became a reproach for the things of God. People made sport of him and mocked him. That great man of God that did great things for God no longer had a testimony for God. I want to give you a question. How many Christians do you know today that are like Samson? They used to have a sight for the things of God. They used to have a witness for the testimony for God. They used to have strength to stand up for God. But now they're spiritually blind and they're weak. And a mockery and a reproach to the things of God. Many Christians today, I believe with all my heart, have become spiritual casualties. They don't see eye to eye with the Word of God anymore. Guess whose eye is bad if you don't see eye to eye with it? You need glasses. Well, I just don't know if that's the pure Word of God. I'm going to tell you, it's the pure Word of God. Well, the trouble is, when people say they don't know, And they used to say they did know. Guess what? They've left the book. God hasn't moved. God hasn't changed. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. No, it's us. And when you and I, when our attitude changes, when our viewpoint changes, it means that we've left God, not God leaving us. His book's true forever. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We just need to plug into him and plug out of the world. You wonder why the kids have so much trouble? We're so plugged. I'm going to say something. I'm gonna really get this. This is not in the normal Paul in the Valley. This is a new edition. I'm going to get a bunch of people mad at me. I'm going to get a ton of kids mad at me. I'm going to probably get a bunch of parents mad at me. I'll tell you, not only is the TV and the computer hurting people today for the things of God, but every one of our young kids, they got them little games. What do you call them? iPod? They've got those little iPod games. My kids have got them too. I don't like them. And they get on those iPod games, and first of all, they might play games for 5 hours a day. I didn't get my homework done. I had to do some kind of thing to an iPod. But even worse than that, they got junk on that iPod. They can make things. By the way, I don't know. I don't own an iPod. I don't think I've ever. I know I've never worked one. I know nothing about an iPod. You had to tell me the name of it. I just know one thing: they're not good for people. They're not good for people. You young people that use those iPods, they're not good for you. They have telephones on them. I think they have phones or something. Or you can send pictures. Facebook, wow. You know how I stand on that. Let's face it. Hello? Jesus is not on Facebook, I guarantee you. Look up your parents. You parents and grandparents, please listen to me. We want our kids to serve God, and then we give them all the tools for Satan. And we wonder what's wrong with our kids. It's because we haven't taught our kids. I'm going to really let it fly today. Stiff neck and all. You never got to see me preach this when I had a good neck. I really whip it then, kids. Stiff neck today hurts. It hurts right now. Only hurts, don't it, though? You need to watch. You need to take those things from your. The kids are going to hate me. They're going to be writing hate letters in school tomorrow. I hate Pastor Skyver. He's trying to wreck our life. No, I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to help your life. We buy them for Christmas presents. Here, we're going to give you something for the devil to tear your life up. Hello? Boy, it's quiet in here, ain't it? Probably 80% of the people got them iPod things. Well, you preacher, you're an old Moses. That's why you ain't got one. I'm glad I am an old Moses. And Moses wouldn't have one either. He wouldn't. He wouldn't have it. And you shouldn't have it either. Boy, that's good. Man, I like this. I'm pawing in the valley with iPod. And you know what? Your kids, their lives are going down the tubes. Oh, that's just an old grouchy man. No, that's a man that's lived a long time, and I'm trying to save your life. And the sad part is, Brother Mike, people of the world, even Christians, when a preacher tries to stop them from things that hurt them, they don't have enough sense that the man of God's pleading for them to help their life and to help their kids. It's not that I'm an old guy. I am an old guy. And my body's wrecked. But my heart's not. And my mind for God ain't. And the Bible isn't. And with all I got, as long as I live, I'm going to keep pawing. I'm going to keep pawing in the valley, no matter who likes it. Listen. They no longer, Christians say, have become spiritual casualties. They don't see eye to eye with the Word of God. They turn their back on God. They no longer think it's important to be in church. Thank God you came back tonight. God bless you for coming back. By the way, you need to come back. You need to come in Sunday school. You need to come in Wednesday night. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'll tell you what's wrong with America. They're not getting enough Word of God. Too much of the world and none of the Word. They no longer read their Bible and pray anymore. They no longer live separated lives, and they don't. And most Christians don't live separated lives. They used to see the importance of the things of God. Now they don't see it. They now have a backslidden heart and a darkened heart. Samson lost sight for the things of God. Can I ask you, how's your sight for the things of God today? Praise God, Samson came back. He started pawing in the belly. Look at chapter 16 and look at verse 22. Albeit the hair of his head began to grow again. Oh, I know that's a physical thing, but it tells me something too. It made me think that Samson was also thinking about the things of God. Because everything about God with him was the growth of his hair. How many are still with me? Drop down to verse 26. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me now that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house that standeth, that I may learn up lean upon them. You know the story. I don't have to read it to you. He had that little boy take him over there. He said, just put my hands on that main pillar where I can get a hold of it. And when he got to that main pillar, he said, okay, son, you better take off. I think I feel pollen. I think I got a pollen in the valley coming on. He grabbed those pillars. God gave him strength. You read the scriptures there. God gave him the strength to pull him down. Oh, he died, but he killed more people then than he killed in his entire life. They were enemies of God, the Philistines. Hey, how many enemies are you knocking out for God? Some of you've got enemies in your life, like alcohol and cigarettes and drugs, pornography. You ought to knock them out. Some of you got them iPods. I'm back to them. Two's the number of witness. Get rid of them iPods. Get rid of them iPods. Oh boy, I'm killing you. I'm actually, oh my lands. They'll never come back the next time I preach. I've ripped them out. You got them on Facebook and I got them on iPods. And when we get to heaven, God's going to tell you, hey, the man of God told you, you just were a stiff, knock-hearted neck, and you didn't listen to the Word of God and the man of God, and now that's why your life didn't go forward like it should have, because you got tangled up in junk. That's good preaching, isn't it? Samson lost sight for the things of God. Praise God, though, Samson, he was pawing in the valley at the end of his life. And he brought that building down with all that temple and all those people. Hallelujah. I'm glad he took those devils out. Amen. Listen. In closing, don't get excited. But I'm trying to make you feel better. We ought to pawn the valley because Jesus, our Savior, pawned in the valley for us. I've been talking about pawing in the valley. If there's only one reason I give you, I ought to paw in the valley for Jesus because he pawed in the valley for me. They mocked him, the Roman soldiers. They lied about him. They beat him with the cat of nine tails. They scourged him. They put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. They embedded the crown of thorns in his head. They took him out and they crucified him and killed him on Calvary's Hill. Son of God, kill. The devil thought Jesus was defeated. The devil thought Jesus, Paul, was broke. They put a big stone and sealed that tomb up. They put soldiers. What a bunch of wackos. Jesus could take his one little finger and tweet, tweet the little soldiers. He could blink his eye. You're gonna die. I'm going to send you 50 feet away. Even a twinkle. You can look. You know what? Who do we think we are to stand up before God Almighty? He put soldiers to guard the tomb, sealed the tomb, rolled the big stone. But glory to God, that third day, hallelujah, the ground shook, the stone rolled back, and up from the grave he arose, hallelujah! What was he doing, preacher? He was pawing in the valley for you and me. Jesus was pawing in the valley so you and I could get saved. Jesus was pawing in the valley so you and I would have a chance to go to heaven and escape the sins of the death of sin and the hells, the hell torments forever. Jesus is still pawing in the valley. Did you know that? I believe he's still pawing in the valley today for you and I. Tonight we need to have a determination in our hearts like our Savior did. I'll not quit. I'll not give up. I'll not turn back. I know some of you right here tonight, some of you are going through some real problems right now. I think some of you, no doubt in my heart, you're going through some hard times. Some of you have got some inner struggles in your life right now. You're trying to work them out, but you know I'm telling you the truth. You're going through stuff, and you know I'm telling you the truth. I know some of you have lost your hope. Some of you have lost your joy. I know that happens. But I'm telling you tonight, don't quit! Don't quit! Don't give up! Keep pulling in the valley. Jesus will make a way. Jesus will get you to the other side. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep pulling in the valley. I close with the Lester Roloff song. The champion marched for 40 days, saying, "Give me a man to fight." The Israelites said, "We've got a brave heart, but our feet are sort of full of fright." Then a boy with a sling and a pocket full of rocks that knew how to trust and pray said, "If you're going to run, Goliath, you might as well take off now, because I came here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I've come here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay." 24 years ago almost, I came here and I said, "I'm staying here to the end." And boy, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how much more life I've got, but don't worry, I'm sticking it out to the end. I'm here to stay. Now the decree had been signed by the hand of the king. Daniel still prayed to the Lord. The hungry lions pacing the den. "Here comes supper," one roared. And if you've been standing anywhere close, you heard old brother Daniel say, "Hey, if you're talking about me, boys, forget it. I came here to stay." Now the boys wouldn't bow. The king got mad and said, "Turn the old furnace up high. Tie them up. Throw them on in. Those Hebrew boys are going to fry." A little while later, he looked in the furnace. He heard old brother Shadrach say, "Pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hands. As we come here to stay." You know, this is the kind of attitude you need. This is the kind of attitude I need. See, every time something goes bad, some little thing goes back, you want to quit and give up. No, don't quit. Don't give up. Stay in the fight. Not done singing yet. Not giving up. Not quitting. Now the preachers wouldn't bow. The state got mad. Boy, they're getting mad today. And said, "Turn those old rules up high. Tie them up. Put the pressure on them. Their freedom and liberty's going to die." They're trying to take it away today. A little while later, they looked in the churches and they heard God's prophet say, "We may burn, but we'll never bend. Our God's just the same today. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I've come here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game." I think about Debbie Sable, all the sickness she's got fighting. Debbie Black going through all this, still fighting. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. I didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. I'm so proud of you, honey. I'm so glad you keep pawing in the valley for Jesus. And that baby of yours, you just keep pawing. I've come here to stay. Pawing in the valley. Keep pawing in the valley. For 35 years now, I've kept pawing in the valley. Keep pawing. When you want to wring his neck, don't do it. Keep pawing. When you want to do something you know it's not, keep pawing. When you want to quit, when you want to give up, when you say there's no hope, put your pawing foot out. Don't ever give up. Keep pawing. Keep pawing. Keep pawing in the valley. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Lord, help us have a heart like that writer in Job 39, that horse and that rider. Help us to always keep pawing in the valley. Oh God, help us never turn and run from the enemy. Help us never turn to run from the troubles. Help us never turn and run from the problems that we're facing. God, help us to stay and wait on God. Help us to see the hand of God take us to the other side. Help us to trust you, Father. And while we're trusting, help us to keep pawing. 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 Help us to keep pawing in the valley. Pawing in the valley till Jesus comes. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How many can say, preacher, God spoke to me about something tonight. I've been having trouble with something. Pray for me that God would give me the victory. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Maybe you heard today and you say, preacher, I've been really thinking about quitting. I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. Some of you say, preacher, I've been having ideas of quitting and throwing in the towel. Who'd say that? God's showing my heart today. I'm going to keep pawing. I'm going to keep pawing in the valley. Life is hard. Life is real hard. Keep pawing. Don't give up. You young people, stay pure, stay clean, go get good grades in school, and keep pawing in the valley for Jesus. Let's all stand. Father, bless the message. Holy Spirit, work in people's hearts. Please help them not to give up. Help them to keep pawing in the valley. When things are tough, when things look bleak, help them, Father, to paw in the valley, even in the valley in the dark times, I pray. We pray that you'll give them a heart to say, yes, I'll keep going. I'll not give in. I'll not quit. I'm going to keep pawing in the valley. What verse are you on, John? 232. You want to come? You come right now. That's right. Just come. Pawing in the valley.